You, as I recall, have done quite a bit of international science. You have a strong interest in science diplomacy. I wonder if this trip to Cuba had a different feeling to you than other international engagements you've been involved in.
Well, this was a unique opportunity. My previous international efforts are all appearances at symposia, meetings. I was sort of part of the presentation. The trip to Cuba, I was in the audience. This was an opportunity to hear from Cuban science leaders. My role was on the receiving end. And this is actually the first such trip for me. There are some other science diplomacy efforts planned, organized by the American Association for the Advancement of Science, so aligned with some other groups. But this was actually a unique opportunity for me. We hope not the last.
What did you learn?
Well, in part, the trip was meant to just explore, see where the Cubans are, and we hope rekindle what had occurred 12 years ago when Rita Caldwell led a AAAS delegation to Cuba. And that trip, which is a book has been published about that, was an eight-day trip, including visits to a number of agencies as well as laboratories. Our trip was just a three-day trip, and so we met mostly with the leaders of the institutions. In short, I think the Cubans are eager to engage with the Americans, although I'm a little fearful they're skeptical. They've seen the Americans before, change of administration, then hard line, and now a more positive posture. So I think they're not jumping in with both feet, expecting major things to change. On the other hand, I think they understand that their scientific efforts would be much more productive if they worked together with the Americans.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the objectives that the U.S. group had going in. You said that you went to kind of assess where the Cubans are.
Mm-hmm. So the group was organized by the New America Foundation, Patrick Daugherty and his team, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and funded generously by the Richard Lounsbery Foundation. So I think our objective was really just to reconnect, to talk to the Cuban leadership, looking for areas of common interest, common ground where we could take next steps. What those steps are on a practical level are yet to be determined. So I don't think there was any agenda. It was more a matter of going with open arms and reconnecting. So I think the next steps are going to be critical, and there's a lot of political debate here in the United States. We very much tried to stay out of the politics. The group was not there to debate the embargo or consequences of the embargo, but simply to look to the scientists. So it was really just about the science.
You've been home for several days now, and I wonder if there are impressions that linger about Cuban science and engineering.
Yes, there sure are, and I've mentioned this to several people since returning. Since the Cuba trip, I was at the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene meeting in Washington. I mentioned this to a number of people, and everybody's eyes open up. You know, they're interested in Cuba. Not far from our shore is another world, which there's been minimal cooperation. I'm intrigued with Cuba. It's a fascinating place and a strong culture. It's quite clear that the sanctions, the embargoes, have hurt the average Cuban very much, but they are not on their knees. I think they are a proud country and are planning to maintain their Cuban identity. I think together there are many things, though, that good things could happen if we could get the political hardliners on both sides to pull back and let the scientists and the people get involved. I think good things will happen.
Is there any moment during the trip, during any of the meetings perhaps, that you would describe as a high point?
Yes. There were a series of presentations at the Cuban Institute for Biotechnology, the Findlay Vaccine Institute, kind of formal presentations with the Cuban National Academy of Sciences and at the University of Havana. But there was one event following our meeting with the Cuban National Academy of Sciences when the leader of that agency and I sat side by side, and I just kind of felt there was a spark of friendship. We didn't know each other before. We represent completely different governments. He is a government official, I am not. But there's a common bond of science that just broke through. And I think the whole delegation, as we walked through the Capitol, that's where their Cuban National Academy of Sciences is located. It was really a warm-hearted exchange, very warm-hearted exchange. And I think that's the sort of thing we would like to see be made possible.
To build a relationship with Cuban science and technology in the months, perhaps years ahead, what has to happen next? You said next steps were critical.
I think very simply, we need to know each other, see each other, and work together. So one practical plan will be for the American Association for the Advancement of Science to offer invitations to a small number of Cuban leaders to come to our annual meeting in San Diego in February. There are visas, there are many sticking points. On the other hand, I think for them to come to see our science meeting, which would really, I think it's a magnificent meeting, the AAAS annual meeting, showcasing American science at its very finest, might be an awakening for them of what we have to offer. And this is not one specific scientific discipline. This is all scientific disciplines, from environmental science to astrophysics to biology, healthcare planning. I think that would be a wonderful activity if we can pull this off, and we hope to. And then to look to see for return visits to Cuba by the American scientists, not just those of us in leadership positions, but some of the younger and more active laboratory scientists to actually visit laboratories. We didn't visit laboratories. We didn't talk to young Cuban scientists. That all lies ahead. I think when the scientists get together, the people get to know each other, things should engage nicely.
In the near term and in the long term, what impact do you hope might come from this initial visit?
Sure. Well, this is one of these events which we say it's one small step forward and a long journey lies ahead. But I hope it is a step forward and not a forward then back and forward and back. I think it was eye-opening for those of us who made the trip, and I really believe that if I could return to Cuba with younger scientists, this would be a good way of engaging Cubans. And of course, we need to get Cuban scientists the opportunities to come to the United States, and there'll be problems organizing that in both directions. Visas are difficult to arrange. There has been a fairly stiff policy in the United States towards Cuba. And the Cubans themselves, of course, are going to be concerned that there may be defections. We wouldn't want any of these things to get in the way of scientists meeting scientists. So, and I think there are things to be learned on both sides. Certainly the American technology is magnificently advanced. The Cubans are doing what they can to keep up. On the other hand, they've been able to accomplish some things in Cuba that I think we could learn from. Infant mortality, for example, in Cuba has improved rates over many American communities. The eradication of malaria has been accomplished in Cuba in the post-revolutionary era, whereas in Haiti, malaria is rampant. How did they accomplish this? There are things we could learn from them.
My last question for you, Dr. Agre, do you think a relationship between science and engineering sectors in each country can lead to more broadly improved relations?
Absolutely. I think as scientists, we're not selling anything. We're there really as representatives of a wonderful scientific enterprise in the United States. We have no vested interests in returns that will enrich ourselves. It's a matter of sharing what we know about that we know is positive. I think this is a way forward, and I would hope in the coming years that this this will be employed. I think science is a path to peace. When scientists work together in laboratories, they become friends for life. I can think of instances in my own younger days in the laboratory as a student at Johns Hopkins where I met scientists from all over the world, cultures that were bitter enemies, but the scientists became friends for life.
Well, I very much appreciate your time this morning. Very interesting insights from Cuba. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Ed. And it's not like this just started. There's a plaque on the wall in Johns Hopkins Hospital in memory of Jesse William Lazier, L-A-Z-E-A-R. He's a Johns Hopkins physician who went to Cuba in the Yellow Fever Commission and died in 1900. It was actually Lazier who established the vectors, the insects past the disease. So we have a long history of working in Cuba and with Cubans, and I would like to see that re-engaged.
Thanks very much.